Off the ball, GAA.
That was a revenge mission in full flight. The only fortunate thing about it for Cork was that it was in a game of no consequence.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're very welcome to the final kickback of the Premier League season here on Off the Ball. We have just seen Manchester United end the season on a high with a 2-0 win at home to Aston Villa. Villa's helped, our cause not helped, by the sending off just before the break of goalkeeper Emi Martinez for a body check on Rasmus Højlund. Then the main controversy coming around about 17 minutes from time. Morgan Rogers thought he capitalised on a fluff from Altay Bayindir, but both referee and VAR decided that he'd won that ball unfairly after tucking it into the back of the net and seemingly giving Villa the lead. Coupled with Everton leading in Newcastle, it looked as if Villa were heading for Champions League football, but crucially, United scored twice in those final 16 minutes, Brian Kerr, and have cost Aston Villa Champions League football. But you kind of figure at the end of that game that Villa cost themselves Champions League football more than nothing else.
I don't know what was wrong with Aston Villa today. The first half was as poor as I've seen them playing. I've seen a lot of their matches this year, watched a lot of their the Champions League performances were excellent. Irrespective of who played in the team or started in the match or finished the match, you always got a performance from them. But in the first half today, it was a very poor performance. It was chance after chance for Manchester United. And United should have taken their chances, but then the Martinez one just before half time, when Matty Cash put Højlund clean through with a bad back pass, was obviously a very crucial moment in the game. Then Manchester United still dominated the second half, continued to miss chances, and Villa had that moment where he made something out of nothing, Morgan Rogers, where the back header from Harry Maguire was so poor, and the goalkeeper, who has looked uncertain any game I've seen him in, didn't deal with it very well. It's debatable whether he has his hands on the ball. I think if he has his hands on the ball when the player makes contact with it, the referee is entitled to give a free kick. But I don't think it was very clear that he had his hands on the ball. If he only had one hand on the ball, I don't think the referee would have blown the whistle. But he had two hands on the side of the ball. You felt he didn't have a clear grip on that, and I'd be inclined to agree with you. The VAR's involvement is interesting, because if the VAR felt the referee made an obvious error, he would have called the referee to have a look at it, and he didn't. But at that stage, it's still 0-0, and Manchester United scored the two goals after that. So yeah, Villa needed to hang in. All round, it's a poor day for them, but I think they've only got themselves to blame. And if you end up behind the other teams after 38 matches, you can't have too much complaint that the last match didn't go well for you.
It's just all the more galling when you consider, I think there's one of the stats that said since the start of March, nobody in the Premier League had a better points tally than Villa.
That's right. They've got 24 points from 9 games.
They've ended the season like a train, and the train ground to a halt in the first half at Old Trafford.
It's hard to find an explanation for that, because most of Manchester United players played in Bilbao on Wednesday night, and Villa had a free week.
They had 9 days to prepare for today.
Since they played the Spurs match on the Friday night.
Is there a chance you get inside your own head in those kind of situations? We almost have a little bit too much time to think.
I don't know. You know, it'd far be it for me to put myself in the mindset of those players playing at such a high level. I've never experienced that, but I don't understand why the performance is so poor. I mean, Manchester United had nothing much to play for today, other than a little bit of self-respect and maybe a little bit less criticism, which obviously they finished the season with a win, and the crowd in Old Trafford are all very kind and nice today. So it was a great performance. Pity we didn't play like that for the other 37 games. But from a Villa point of view, it's hard to understand how they turned out such a poor performance today.
You felt they got the midfield selection wrong, in particular the Villa.
Well, look, you know, there must have been something about Tielemans that he wasn't fit enough. He's been back. He hasn't been fit. He hasn't played recent games. He's come on, I think, against Spurs.
It's the last game of the season. You give him a go.
Well, in such an important game, he's such a key player. But I thought Malin as well. But I thought it was obvious from early on that John McGinn and Rodgers weren't playing very well. And the substitution of Asensio, I just felt the manager got that one wrong, because Asensio looked like the player that had the bit of guile about him to make something happen in the first half. When again, when he's playing on the left of a four against a good quality team, and the team playing with wing backs where he's expected to try and get across to one of the centre halves or the wing back in defensive point of view, I think that that's tough for him. It doesn't allow him to get inside and float about and pick up the ball in kind of awkward areas for the opposition. I didn't think he was being effective, whereas I thought they needed Asensio on the pitch, particularly if they were down to 10 men. But you know, the manager made the changes after an hour. He got Tielemans on, Ross Barkley eventually come on, Ramsey come on, didn't over affect it, but they were more vibrant when Malin come on, I thought. But it was just a little bit too late, as it happens, a 0-0 draw would have done them. But they didn't deserve to get a 0-0 draw today, because they coughed up so many chances.
The personnel of Gareth going to change, you would imagine, hugely from a Manchester United perspective in the summer. Whether they can get rid of the players they need to get rid of is one story. Whether they can buy players that they actually need is another. But it showed today, although Villa were fairly flat, that the system that Ruben Amorim obviously likes to operate with can work.
Well, it worked for him at Sporting Lisbon. I mean, who else would play? Crystal Palace play that type of system at time, but I think the lack of flexibility in the system is not a good thing. He seems to be absolutely rooted to it, and you know, unless the players fit into it, they're not going to be part of it. And some of them found it very frustrating. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they go, of course, next season, what changes are made, where they get a centre forward that can score goals on a reasonably regular basis rather than depending on the midfield players. I mean, the goals have been scarce this season. They can't rely on Hoyland. Xerxes has been in and out. He hasn't been a regular scorer when he's played either. Garnacho has been a decent scorer. Diallo has been a decent scorer. But it looks like Garnacho is going to be out. We'll hardly see Anthony coming back. Sancho, Rashford, those three players to be hoping to gather some money on those. So maybe fairly substantial money that will give them some money to buy the type of players that the manager feels are going to improve the team. But they definitely need players to improve. I don't think today covers up the problems they have, just because they beat Aston Villa, who finished up in the European spot. I don't think that kind of is enough to say, oh, Manchester United, they're better than they've been all season. I think they've been poor majority of the season. They've lost far too many matches, and they've a right bit of work to do, as has the manager, to get the players and get the system right and become an effective unit at the beginning of next season.
And it looks like they do have suitors for a lot of those players as well. Obviously, Anthony and Rashford have done well in their respective loans. Anthony, in particular, is playing in the European final.
Yes.
They've had others, you know, like Garnacho, not involved today, who've kind of made their own bed in that respect, and that he's crossed the manager. The manager's decided he's had enough. He was out there, interestingly enough, in his tracksuit. He was among the kind of post-match party for United today, but he's going to be one of the players heading towards the exit tour as well, you'd imagine. And hasn't done himself, for somebody who's not yet 21, hasn't done himself favours in terms of his ego.
Not too clever to be coming out and having a whinge after the match the other night against Tottenham, you know, for a young lad and getting his opportunity at Manchester United. And he's obviously learning the game, learning to play the inside position where he was usually a winger. I think that, you know, not playing on the inside as one of those number 10s doesn't necessarily suit him at all. And that's what I'm saying, lack of flexibility in the manager to play some players in their best positions, or the formation that suits the players rather than the formation that suits the manager's thought process is an interesting debate. But yeah, there's obviously going to be changes. They need to generate money, it seems. They've been busy. Ratcliffe has been busy, you know, cutting staff and letting people go and getting people to pay for their own tickets to go to see the club in the final, and cutting back in every way he can would suggest that there are money problems there, despite the Glazers taking an absolute fortune out of the club over the time of their ownership. So, you know, they've plenty of problems, Manchester United, but at least there was some encouragement for them today with winning the game. And some of the individual performances today were quite good, particularly the younger players. Thought Dogu did well on the left. Fernandes, Bruno, the captain, did very well. But is he going going to be one of the players sacrificed to generate money to buy other players? We have to wait and see on that one.
I figured that your highlight of the season might have come on Wednesday night in Bilbao. That's part of the wider European season. But if I had to press you on what has been our latest season of Premier League football here in Off the Ball, for your overall highlight of the Premier League season, Brian?
Well, I, you know, I've enjoyed watching Liverpool playing, I think, as everyone else, anyone else who has seen them up until they won the league. You know, since then, their performance has been mediocre. That often happens when teams do it. But, you know, their performance against when they beat Manchester City away from home, 2-0, I think it was February, that was really, really good performance. I enjoyed that, watching Mo Salah, watching the involvement of the team, I suppose, since Jurgen Klopp, the change of Gravenberch playing the midfield. I think that's been the most interesting thing. Notts Forest have been very impressive. Just got edged out with the Champions League position, but had a great season considering last year they were scrapping against relegation. Yeah. And this year they end up there and thereabouts for Champions League position all season. Exciting, a counter-attacking team. Again, it just shows you that the game can change, where it was all about the attacking, pressing teams and controlling possession all around the pitch, and particularly in the opposition's half. And they showed under Nuno a different way of playing on the counter-attack, with the opposition having the ball and then using the pace of the wingers, and Hudson-Odoi and Alanga, their brilliance, and Gibbs White coming from midfield, and of course Wood finding his form as centre-forward.
Yeah.
They've been very, very good. You know, the struggles of Manchester United and Spurs and maybe Chelsea to a lesser degree have been interesting, considering the amounts of money they spend and the wage bill, compared to, say, the performances of Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Brentford, Nottingham Forest. You know, they've been, it's given a lot of hope, I think, for the, let's say, for the Midland teams.
Yeah.
And when you see Palace winning the cup and Newcastle winning a cup, I think that was a kind of brought a bit of brightness to the season, that it wasn't dominated by Manchester City or Liverpool or Chelsea, you know, or any of the other big spending teams. Bournemouth, with the lowest average crowds because the stadium is so small, have had a very good season. Brentford, once again, have had a really good season. Palace, after such a poor start to the season when they didn't win a match, I think in the first 10, have ended up the season very well.
Brighton could well have European football depending on how that
Brighton once again
is,
yeah. Brighton once again having a very good season. I mean, I think that kind of gives everyone a bit of hope that it's not only about the massively spending teams, that the clubs who are well run, with who recruit well and have clever managers and good backup staff, can do something, can compete and have some glory days. And it's been nice that the trophies haven't been all going to the usual suspects this season, I think.
On that optimistic note, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure this season. Thanking you.
Thanks, Richie. Great stuff.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.